Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to talk about the Billy Meyer material this evening. I'm going to start in Contact 213 that briefly mentions the destruction of the tomb of Emmanuel. Quetzal is in this contact with Billy. Quetzal is the commander of all the Plarian forces that were at one time in our solar system. Quetzal is now an Ishwish, a king of wisdom, and he's talking about the tomb of Emmanuel. Emmanuel is, according to the information, a former personality of the same spirit form that's currently in Edward Albert Meyer. And the Meyer information says that the New Testament is a fictionalized version of the life of Emmanuel. Quetzal says here in line 1, the fact that the tomb, respectively, the tomb cave, is sought for corresponds to the truth. But the correct site wasn't found because some time ago I had destroyed this by the order of the High Council. So Quetzal has actually destroyed the tomb. This is the tomb, I believe, that Billy and Issa Rashid discovered when they discovered the writing about Emmanuel. And this first line goes on, and to be sure, certainly by what means, also the hillside collapsed and buried everything. So the whole thing has collapsed. The reason it was destroyed is so it wouldn't have created another Christian monument or shrine. Now, the High Council decided that that ought to be destroyed. Now, who's the High Council? The Supreme or High Council is a group of highly evolved beings in pure spiritual form that reside in the galaxy of Andromeda. The Andromeda High Council also acts as a consultant to the Plarian Federation. Now, the Plarian are under no obligation to follow any of this advice, but they often choose to do so. Just kind of as a side note, the Andromeda Galaxy is about 2.5 million light years from Earth. It is the nearest major galaxy to the Milky Way, and it's often referred to as the Great Andromeda Nebula in older texts. Now, just to give you a rough idea of how tremendously massive the universe is, there are 44 galaxies in our local area. I can't even wrap my mind around that. The next section, line 14, I found very interesting. This talks about Billy's wife Calliope, who was going to harm the mission. Line 14, yet this will only happen with difficulty and on difficult detours, which will be due to your wife, who has already worked for some time in secret, as well as in open form against you and your mission, and who regularly carries out traitorous things that cause you and the group members harm and strife. Now, back when Billy was a young boy, even with his first contact, Svoth told him that his wife would turn against him and call him a hoaxer. In this same contact, Billy discusses his trip back in time with Asket. Asket was Billy's second contact. She is a woman from the Tao universe. And Billy, the first thing he got to see with Asket was the headquarters of the Giza Intelligences, which I've talked about in detail before, and I'm sure I'll repeat it again at some time in the future. So, this is a very interesting contact. Let me read a little something here that Billy says about Emmanuel. Billy says, I am surprised, and since we already we are already at it, when I was allowed to travel with Askett back to Emmanuel's time and also actually meet him, whereby I could speak with him using the language converter, there he told me his life story, which was very different from what is maintained in the New Testament. Now imagine this for a second. I don't know how this works, but it does somehow work. Billy and Emmanuel are standing there talking to each other in Emmanuel's time, and there's only one spirit form. So somehow a spirit form can be in two places at once, which I thought was very, very interesting and strange. Let's continue. With certainty, it arose from his explanations that he was in no way religious and therefore was no religious faith bringer or religious revolutionary. Actually, he was a revolutionary. He said so himself, but not in the sense of a religious form, but rather in relations to the true teaching of the Spirit, as this is also clear from the Talmud of Emmanuel, which, by the way, has been translated into English now and will soon be available to the public, hopefully. The second translation. There was a first translation, which the people of Figu weren't very happy with, I guess. So Billy corrected that translation. Anyway, it goes on here to talk about Emmanuel. He said that he was very unpopular with his superiors, the rulers, as well as the scribe, etc., and that his life was endangered as a result of his revolutionary teaching, for he enlightened the people and advocated for their freedom in every respect. Now, this is an important aspect because the Meyer material talks about this much, that inner freedom, this teaching of the Spirit will give you inner freedom, where religion, as it is today on our world, will put you in a state of kind of a bondage. Let me continue here. He did this in such a way because on the one hand, this was his mission that he had to fulfill here since ages ago across different personalities, different reincarnation of the spirit form. And on the other hand, because also this was also the desire of his parents. Now, there's something very interesting that this says about Mary and Joseph here. Mary and Joseph did not hold to the old traditional and falsified teachings, which I didn't know. I found it very interesting. Also, I could learn from Emmanuel when I asked him about it, the story of the carpenter's son is not correct. For the foster father, Joseph, had not been a simple carpenter, but rather the owner of a small carpentry company, I guess, with various workers who fulfilled orders for him. Joseph had already learned the craft as a carpenter from the ground up with his father, who had already originally placed ship carpentry. They were doing some kind of ship carpentry. Thus, Joseph and Mary, as well as Emmanuel and his brothers and sisters, hadn't been common people. But according to Emmanuel, they would enjoy a degree of prosperity, which also allowed it that Father Joseph and Mother Mary, as well as other children, could learn to read and write. So Emmanuel could read and write, which was unusual during that time. Thus, Joseph was an independent craftsman with his own business, so to speak. And just as independent were also Emmanuel's brothers, who pursued their own crafts. And as Emmanuel said, he too was very independent and autonomous. And he was an expert of reading and writing, and he earned his living through the spreading of spiritual teaching, for which he received donations, which he did not administer himself. However, rather, he let those be administered by his disciples. And it goes on to talk about, Billy talks about the life of Emmanuel, talks about the crucifixion, etc. Interesting contact here, contact 213, as most of them are. We were talking about Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the fifth prophet in the incarnations from Henoch to Billy. Billy visited Emmanuel back in 1956 via time travel technology provided by Askett. And Billy's known as the New Age Prophet. And he's described as such in the Book of OM, which talks about the other prophets in that line. Henoch, Eliah, Jeziah, who we call Isaiah, Jeremiah, who we call Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. Muhammad was one of the prophets in the line of Nicodemian, and he's credited by Figo as having created the Islamic religious cult, which was designed to restrain other existing cults. And the Meyer information here refers to Christianity as being a bloodthirsty cult. Maybe not so much in our time, but certainly in the past. The teaching of Muhammad has been distorted and falsified, and now it is an evil and wrong cult. And if you, there's a link, and maybe I'll put this in chat room, to a page on the Future of Mankind site called Those Who Lie About Contacts. And it's really the story of Muhammad. And if you're interested in that, you could probably search on the Future of Mankind site for Those Who Lie About Contacts. Let me read a little bit of this. If someone scrutinizes the teachings of the most diverse founders of religious cults, he will notice that the teachings of these cult religions have been consistently directed against political and religious trends of the time. It's interesting, if you go back and study Muhammad, and I have studied this a little bit in the past few days, according to conventional historical wisdom, Muhammad taught in two places, Mecca, and he taught in Medina. When he taught in Mecca, his verses are much more moderate and more conventional and loving and I think more spiritual. Now, his later teaching in Medina is very intense. It gives the green light on violence and rape and things like that. Now, how much of that is been distorted over time, I don't know. But the Meyer material does say that Muhammad, a.k.a. Nicodemian, the same spirit form that's now in Edward Albert Meyer, was intentionally teaching half-truth, and that he actually had to teach half-truth in order for, A, to get people to listen, and B, to stop the to counter the spread of Christianity. I guess if Christianity would have spread too far, it would have completely stopped all of our evolution. Let me continue here. It was only Muhammad's appearance and actions which ensured that half of Earth's mankind would not be slaughtered by Christendom's madness. Even though the indirect results of Muhammad's actions were not always very obvious, we can thank the true prophets, Emmanuel and Muhammad, in spite of all the false teachings into which the teachings of the truth have been turned, that the murderous laws of religious cults of all the worldwide religious sects and cults became more humane and free. It did say in this particular page later on that probably the most difficult incarnation that Nicodemian had was Muhammad. And that was very, very difficult for that spirit form to do, because of it was a very violent time, and he had to make certain compromises and do certain things that were very unpleasant to him. Finally, in verse 1380, we can thank the true prophets of Emmanuel Muhammad in spite of all the false teachings. Again, I read that. This, however, is shifting in the opposite direction, because sects of all types are gaining ground and demanding a variety of different kinds of blood sacrifices. Now, according to Meyer information, I say that a lot. I probably shouldn't say it quite that much, but that these Islamic terrorists really don't represent Islam, just as any terrorist doesn't represent the faith that they're involved in. So in that sense, I guess we should moderate our views a little bit. I know I had to moderate my views a little bit as I went back through this stuff. Anyway, I thought this was some very, very interesting information. Maybe I'll scroll down here just a little bit. This is in line 1407. This must be an excerpt from a much larger writing. And I'll have to do more research and figure out what this is actually an excerpt from. But 1407 says, Muhammad's strategy was successful. Even though Christianity continues to spread farther after his end, prompting and affecting immense massacres of human lives. Those massacres will have cost a total of nearly 127 million human lives by the year 2000. Always nicely in the name of God, the Creator, in the name of God's laws and commandments, in the name of mercy and love, in the name of brotherlessness and peace, in the name of Christianity and his faith, in the name of the Holy See, God's representative, in the name of the Pope. That's a hell of a number. I don't know where they got that number. This is very, very interesting. Page on the Future Mankind site. I'll let you, if you search for those who lie about contacts, you should be able to find it. Put double quotes around that, and you'll find that. Whenever you search for something that has blanks in it, put the double quotes around it, and you'll find that. You can search right up in the search bar of the wiki. This is very controversial information for all of us, I suppose. I wanted to talk a little bit this evening about the storage bank archives. Now, in our universe, there are storage banks of general spiritual teaching that are called the strudel. And an archive is a place where public records or other historical documents are kept. In general, archives consist of records that have been selected for permanent or long-term preservation on the grounds of enduring cultural, historical, or evidentiary value. The strudel is available to all human beings who can access them. They are not physical records, but they are information that is stored in a kind of energy. And in the book, The Goblet of Truth, the first 14 chapters are said to have been pulled out of the storage banks, the terrestrial storage banks, which I would assume are the storage banks associated to the earth. One of the key German words here is Speicherbank, which can be translated as memory bank or storage bank. And I always go back to how it all began for the example of the storage banks, where Billy said, then suddenly formed on my lips again, words formed on my lips, which said, since ancient times you lived among the stars. And suddenly I knew who I was, how I am, and what my mission on this earth is. And suddenly impulses came from somewhere, which I later recognized as impulses from the storage banks. And Billy describes that many good memories penetrated him and showed him the way. So sometimes what comes from the storage banks are impulses. And an impulse can be defined as the influence of a particular feeling, mental state, etc. In physics, an impulse is something that changes the momentum of an object with respect to time. Also, an impulse can be a sudden wish or an urge. In medicine, an impulse is an electrochemical transmission of a signal along a nerve fiber that produces a response in some target tissue. So we have these electrochemical transmissions that go from the brain down to certain nerves and vice versa. In science, an impulse is a sudden flow of electrical current in one direction. The impression I get here is that an impulse in this case refers to a signal of some kind. Again, in the article called How It All Began, it says, "Already at the age of 4, this great recognition instantly changed my life. Because after I was familiarized with this insight and understanding by means of the impulses from the storage banks, and I also learned who I really was, and what I had to learn and do in my life, and what my life task was, I looked at human beings, animals, nature, as well as all existing things in a completely new way. And I suddenly felt a great astonishment within myself about that, which I now discovered." You see, impulses from storage banks, they seem to be associated with understanding, guidance, and memory. And the storage banks are mentioned in FIGU Special Bulletin number 33. Let me read this quickly here. It says, it's a long-known fact, which was already known since ancient times, that the peace meditation in large groups positively affects a great deal of things. And what happens during the peace meditation is that there is something of an ancient language that's stored in our subconscious of all humans. And these are coming into our subconscious via impulses from the storage banks. So there's something during the peace meditation that wakes up something in our subconscious, something about an ancient language. So information on the storage banks is present in the subconscious of all humans. It later mentions in that bulletin that the subconscious of humans can receive impulses from the storage banks during the peace meditation. A related subject that I want to bring up now deals with Billy receiving information from the Arahat Athrasada level, which is discussed in Sva's explanation, which I always quote it from. Notice that in the communication with Arahat Athrasada, it's only one-sided in that Billy is only receiving information. Let me read this here. "Therefore, also practice spiritual telepathy, in which, along with many other things, I will also instruct you. Because the level of Arahat Athrasada can only connect with you in this manner, whereby, however, this will only be one-sided, and thus you will receive only that which is instructive." So Svath is telling Billy he will in the future get these messages from the Arahat Athrasada level, which is a pure spiritual level. It's the first pure spiritual plane. Now, one thing that Quetzal discusses with Billy in Contact 228 is something called the Srut or the Srutin. It's the highest spiritual teaching, whereby the highest spiritual teaching is also a secret teaching, which is available only to one, a Srut. The Srut is the next level up from the Ishwish. And Billy's speaking here, and I think he's speaking to Quetzal. And Billy says, "Calm yourself, my son, and don't do Svath an injustice. He said nothing to me about it," speaking of the Srutin level. "Besides, you've just now advised me that you yourself, indeed also Pata and Sannyasa, have also evolved into the first grade of the Srut plane. Otherwise, you would have no knowledge of this level of evolution and of the manifesting transmission out of the spiritual teaching storage block. The Bandstrut is the highest level of evolution that a human consciousness can achieve. It is higher than that of a strut or an ishwish. So what is wisdom? The German word Weisheit means wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using understanding, common sense, insight. Understanding is a part of wisdom. There is a noted computer scientist that says that wisdom is a kind of data compression. And he's written an essay called The Limits of Reason. A man, I think you would pronounce his name, Gregory Chatton. He argues that understanding something means being able to figure out a simple set of rules that explains it. So the essence of wisdom seems to be able to grasp something and explain it in simple terms. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. That kind of struck me as very, very interesting. And I want to pick back up here. We talked a little bit about Islam and ISIS. And we've talked a little bit about this before. I'm going to play a clip that talks about the House of Islam versus the House of War. And that's the way, according to some anyway, that's the way Islam kind of looks at us, that we live in what's called the House of War, all the people that do not follow Islam. I don't know if all Islamics follow the Quran verbatim, but those that do probably most likely have these points of view. Let's go here.
Islam's view of the world, mankind is divided into two irreconcilable camps, the territory of Islam, Dar al-Islam, and the territory of war, Dar al-Harb. All lands under Islamic control are considered Dar al-Islam, where Islamic law reigns. Those lands beyond Islamic control are Dar al-Harb, the territory of war, essentially the rest of the world. The Prophet Muhammad is said to have said, Al-Kufru Milatun Wahida, unbelief is one nation. In the Islamic view, all of mankind will one day accept Islam or submit to its rule.
Inshallah, Islam, hamiye kujar fath kard, hamiye qulnahaye jahan ro fath kard.
Logically then, Islam cannot recognize political borders nor permanent peace treaties with Dar al-Harb. Therefore, according to Ibn Taymiyyah, a 14th century Muslim jurist, any act of war against Dar al-Harb is morally justified, legal, and exempt from any ethical judgment.
Very interesting clip. It gives you a whole new perspective on Islam and what we're up against here. Now, again, terrorists do not necessarily represent Islam per se, all of Islam. I think it's important to kind of emphasize that. It's one thing that I learned when I was going through this, and one thing that became clearer to me over time. So, Edward Albert Meyer lives in a little tiny mountain village in Switzerland. It's called Hinterschmidruti. He's in his late 70s. He's a prophet. He's been a teacher. He's written an incredible number of books. Has a tremendous amount of wisdom. When you study this information, things will start to become a lot clearer to you in a lot of different ways. One thing we've talked about in the past are the Henoch prophecies. And Henoch, there were three personalities with the same name. The first Henoch was 13,500 years ago. The second Henoch was about 9,000 years ago, and the third Henoch was about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. In Contact 215, Billy says, and the same will most likely be the case in the future when I receive permission from you in the coming time to spread the prophecies of Henoch for the third millennium. But nevertheless, I feel that Henoch's message for the future must be made known and distributed because somehow it might bear fruit yet. Quetzal says, the point in time at which the prophecies will begin to be fulfilled is when there is no longer a pope in Rome. So we're still before the time, thank goodness. All of Europe will then fall victim to a terrible punishment by evil powers, but we're seeing the stage being set. We're seeing the evil powers of Islam starting to punish Europe already. And it says here that the Christian religion will collapse, and the churches and the monasteries will end up in ruins. It's going to be very strange if we live to see this. A tremendous historical trend taking place here. Now, that was from Contact 215. In Contact 251, it talks about World War III and the fact that World War III cannot be averted if man fails to become reasonable. The war will begin with conventional weaponry and escalate to nuclear, chemical, and biological warfare. The World War will begin in November of a specific year, and after 5 years of intense effort are spent reaching this goal, which is preceded by 4 years of unspecified preparations. So if this war ends up starting, it's said it will last for 3 years and 11 months. So almost 4 years. Now this is the bad news. The Earth's northern hemisphere will be largely destroyed by nuclear fires and radioactive radiation. It will annihilate the entire animal and plant world, unless man sees to it that the prophecy will not be fulfilled. So what does it say? Somewhere in there it says that nuclear, biological, chemical weapons will be released by automated systems that run outside of human control. That's not good news. So let's hope that through enough peace meditation and enough people paying attention to the Meyer information, enough people listening to these archives, which I'm always pleased with people that do get around to the archives. Again, destruction in North America by the Henoch prophecies. Far in the West, it will be different. The United States of America will be a country of total destruction. But not even all the terrible happenings will hinder the U.S. in continuing to proceed with her actions against other countries. We'll still be involved in war. It's just bizarre. It's overwhelming. It says here, the North American continent will be stricken by the most terrible catastrophe which has ever been recorded. And that's the one I quoted a second ago. Evil military powers will wreak havoc with computerized and nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, whereby it will also happen that computerized weapons will become independent. Artificial intelligence, maybe? These computer weapons will become independent and we won't be able to control them. Amazing prophecies. Incredible prophecies. Another interesting prophetical contact is Contact 136, which took place in October of 1980. And prophecies that I don't know what the date off the top of my head is in Contact 136, but all these things that were prophesied have took place. The assassination of John Lennon, the death of Princess Diana and her engagement to Charles, and another thing is the start of the trend of extreme cold weather, which, by the way, we've been very fortunate mostly this winter, at least where I'm living. The rise of Zionism. It talks about the setting of the stage for World War III by Reagan. the assassination attempt on Reagan by John Hinckley. I don't know if you remember the Osirak attack, the destruction of the Osirak nuclear reactor by the Israeli Air Force. It goes on to say here that the Vatican will be corrupted in what is called the Holy See, assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II, the death of Ayatollah Khomeini, Ronald Reagan being struck by Alzheimer's disease, the assassination of Anwar Sadat, and the implementation of the peace meditation. Again, oh yeah, this took place in 1980, these prophecies, this contact report. So, sobering information. The Meyer material is extremely sobering information. A little overwhelming at times. I want to talk a little bit about the prophet, the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. It's referred to as Nocodemian. That was evidently the name of the first incarnation, the first material consciousness, the first material incarnation of the spirit form. Nocodemian is the universal prophet. The spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. It has returned from this Arahat Athrasada level, which is the first level or plane where there are pure spirit forms. This spirit form, Nocodemian, originally came from a planet named Sadar, which existed some 3 billion light years from the Earth in the Lyran galaxy. The knowledge taught by the Herald will be integrated by the human and verbally further carried. It somehow, the teaching of Nocodemian is also part of the collective subconscious forms. And through these, remember I talk about the swinging waves, that this teaching, this information, will continue to forever be disseminated through the entire universe. Askett mentions the fact that we have a collective subconscious in Contact 31. She says, in reality, this is only the truth to the extent that these Earth humans are connected with other terrestrial life forms through Earth humanity's collective subconscious. So we're connected to every human being subconsciously. Knowledge can be passed to other human beings via the collective subconscious. And there's an article on this called The Sixth and Seventh Senses. I'll put that in the chat room. The Sixth and Seventh Senses. And this information is bounced back and forth through our subconscious. For example, if a human being invents something or writes something, that information can be picked up by another human being somewhere in the world via this collective subconscious. There's a German word here called Feinstoffenlich, which can be translated as the fine fluids sensual, these supernatural fluidal powers that we all have. Now let me talk about another Henoch that I didn't even mention earlier, which came into existence about 389,000 years ago. This is mentioned in Contact 228. So let me read this. Semyase and I, as well as Ptah, and his father Svath, as well as my father, have always belonged paternally to a line of descendants that leads back to Henoch and Nocodemian, as well as their sons. Ah, so that's why, you see, Ptah, Svath, Semyase, they're all related. And they all go back. They're all part of the Henoch, and the Nokadamian lineage. So this is kind of a family affair here on Earth. Thank goodness we've got some help. So Henoch, this Henoch, which actually I guess would be the fourth Henoch, the name, it means the wise man of time, the initiate, came here 389,000 years ago, and that's when the Lyrians came. Okay, it goes on here. It says that those sons were the ones that were under an obligation to the mission to instruct all who came from the Nokadamian and Henoch lineage in hereditary series in the teaching of the Spirit and to preserve the knowledge regarding this. That's contact 228. I'll put the link to that also in the chat room. Contact 228. Okay. Let me... In Contact 228, Billy and Quetzal are discussing the reasons for the assignment of the current player on leadership to the mission and Billy's attainment of the Shrut level. Another thing that Billy and Ptah discuss are the alleged Anunnaki, which, let me read a little here what Quetzal says. However, that which emerges from old texts regarding the Anunnaki and the planet Nibiru is based on mythological facts, as well as beliefs, misguidance, and erroneous assumptions. The Anunnaki beings were a pure imagination of the Earth humans, who, full of fantasy and according to their beliefs, fabricated the Anunnaki people from the planet Nibiru. As the giant shape in the sky appeared, which truly did not deal with an actual planet, rather it concerned an uncommonly big comet. Remember the Destroyer Comet. So, planet Nibiru is in fact the Destroyer Comet. Really, there's no planet Nibiru. There's only the Destroyer Comet. And it used to come into our system on a regular cycle of 3,600 years. Very interesting here. And they're also talking about the planet Melona. If you remember, in the ancient past, and this is very sad, I think, in the ancient past, there were actually three planets in our solar system that could support life. You know, really support life, because there were human beings on all three of these planets, Mars, Melona, and the Earth. That means there was all of the flora and fauna necessary to support human life on three planets in our solar system. Can you imagine how much more advanced we would be with interaction from other humans on these other worlds in our solar system? But that was not to be, because of the lack of spiritual growth of these people. The people on Melona destroyed their own planet, and Mars was eventually wiped pretty much clear of life because of certain natural occurrences like this Destroyer Comet. It will be great at one time when we know about, in more detail, about this true history that the Meyer material tells us about. Now we've talked about Pluto and some of the discussions about Pluto. Recently, they've discovered that there's water on Pluto, that there's a blue sky on Pluto, that there's ice, of course, on Pluto, which is truly amazing. Well, according to my information, there are smaller planets far outside the orbit of Pluto. In fact, there's an Earth-sized planet outside the orbit of Pluto called the planet Cepheid, which, with very great speed at a great distance, follows its orbit around the Sun. Now, let me tell people, this is Contact 228, if you want to take a look at this yourself. There's a planet outside the orbit of Pluto. It's an Earth-side planet called Cepheid. This is something, as far as I know, they haven't discovered yet. Its period of orbit around the Sun is so big that seen from the earth, it remains constantly hidden from the sun. This is just fascinating material. I recommend this contact. It talks also in detail about the destroyer comet, about the Arahat-Athrasata level, more about Nokademian spirit form. The Meyer material is just truly amazing and discusses this strut level a little bit more. Now, so Billy, Svath, Ptah, Semyase are in the same line of people. You can think of them as family. They're in the same line that goes from Nokademian to Henoch and also to Semyasa, not Semyasi, but Semyasa, who's talked about in Contact Report 9. And Semyasa came to the earth about 13,000 years ago. No, excuse me. There may have been two Semyasas, I don't know, but one was came here 389,000 years ago. I have another date for this other one. Again, this is during the time of Valanus and Lemuria. Semyasa was the highest leaders of the sub-leaders and mated with what they called an Eva, female beings, who were mostly human-like and rather beautiful in feature and form. And Semyasa was one of the leaders of these 200 leaders and sub-leaders who worked under Eris. If you remember the Ishwish Eris, Eris the Barbarian conquered Hyperborea, this very warm, beautiful place to the north, really around the North Pole area, where it was an eternal summer, where there were fruit trees. It was just a glorious place. Evidently, our earth, I think, was covered with a firmament at that time, which... And it wasn't tilted in its axis, I don't believe. So we had a tremendous climate. And the most desirable place on Earth, evidently, was Hyperborea. So Eris conquered Hyperborea. One of his leaders was Semyasa. Semyasa mated with one of these human women. They must have been a little different than modern humans. And the offspring became Adam. Adam, which has it was a word meaning earth human being. Now, Adam was like 16 feet tall, this particular Adam, and a blonde hair. So, you can tell how our history has been changed in many different ways. There are a couple contacts I'm going to cover quickly tonight. I'm really covering a lot of information. One is Contact 155, which has a little blurb in it that talks about love destiny. Evidently, there were two people who were in the Figu group called Ferdinand Ingrid that evidently must have been destined to be together, but they never really got together. They had a lot of other partners, different sex partners, which disturbed their destiny, harmed their destiny. And the German word for destiny is Bestimmung, and it's translated as determined, as purpose, as appointment, a settlement, assignment. Destiny can be a predetermined thing, usually inevitable or irresistible. Notice that this destiny was messed up because of these activities. And I got a little extra information here from Marianne Ullinger-Mondrian from Switzerland, who said that Ferdinand and Ingrid, in their former personalities, had made a great oath. This was the time of the great oath, which was 13,500 years ago. And this is what the Contact 229 says about the great oath. This is during this, I guess, the second time the Lyrians came here. Well, this is, boy, there's still so much still to learn here. It's just incredible. Contact 229, anyone, the great of. When the prophet of the new time speaks of codex, as well as oath and law, only a few loyal ones will gather around him. And most human beings will not want to listen to him. At first, only a few human beings will hurry to pursue the truth when he spreads the teaching of the Spirit. For to the many human beings, his voice and teaching will go unheard as if in a desert. Billy talked about this to a certain degree in an interview he had in 1988. And he said that there were immigrants from Lyra Vega here, and there were 144,207 of these that remained on Earth. In due course, every one of these died, only to be later reincarnated into human bodies on Earth, however, without any memory of their former lives. This is true for all human life forms. Now, there's an age of recognition that we eventually get to when we're at the fifth stage of evolution, which is after some millions of years. Anyway, nevertheless, all these fallibles who had come to Earth were unified by an Ishwish and were taught all required creative laws and commandments and other guidelines. This union led the fallibles, in particular the 144,000 ringleaders, to declare their willingness to make amends in later incarnations for previously induced damages. Simultaneously, they drew up a codex for themselves and all the followers, which provided the severest punishments for them who did not strive to make amends for the past mistakes. I wonder when they get these punishments. The codex was to be valid for all future times until the day of reparations was completed. Now, I remember talking or via email to Marianne about this, and evidently she was, according to my information, one of the people involved in this codex, although she's not officially a member of FICA. She works with them. She chose to be not a member for her own personal reasons. I think she prefers to study on her own. Anyway, it says here, the codex, with its purpose of fulfilling the missions of reparations, is in effect to this day and will continue into the future. Now, that was back in 1988. It may no longer be, it may be already have, I'm just speculating here, I don't know this for sure. But maybe the codex is still on, but I vaguely remember talking to Marianne and she was saying that the codex is no longer, that it's been fulfilled. I'd have to double check on that. Don't quote me on that, please. But anyway, fascinating stuff in the Meyer material. It just keeps coming on and on and on. I think I'll close. We've only got about 6 minutes on the stream. I really enjoyed this show tonight. I hope all of you that will listen to this archive will. I appreciate Eve very much in the chat room this evening. And I have an interesting show out on, if you Google Ohio Exopolitics, you eventually make it to the website, exopoliticsohio.us, and there are buttons there for archives where you can listen to both these blog talk shows and to the shows on freedomslips.com. So Google Ohio Exopolitics, and you'll find these shows and keep studying so these negative prophecies are not fulfilled. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Have a good evening.